When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This summer, click into cordless power with Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot. Tackle more than half an acre of grass with the convenience and gas-like power of the Ryobi 40-volt battery-powered mower. And keep your flower beds looking fresh with the 40-volt cordless string trimmer. Then clear leaves and debris with the 40-volt leaf blower. No cords, no gas, no hassle. Click into Memorial Day savings happening now at the Home Depot and on HomeDepot.com. How doers get more done.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, Ben, I got a question for you.
Shoot.
Have you ever been in an accident where the airbags deployed?
Scott, I have not been in an accident where the airbags deployed.
Likewise.
Have you?
No, I haven't, which, you know, boy, I mean, that's pretty lucky, I guess. I mean, I don't want to jinx it or anything, but that hasn't happened yet.
Right, and part of it, you know, not to not to make us look like crotchety old people or something, but you and I are actually from generations that were before the widespread use of airbags.
You know what? I've been in some wrecks that I could have benefited from airbags.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I've had a couple of bad accidents, and one of them definitely would. My first car, its demise. I would have benefited from airbags.
I feel the same way, man, because I had an unfortunate incident, just one, where an airbag would have also really benefited me. And, mm-hmm. you know, spoiler alert, everybody, Scott and I are talking about airbags today.
wow.
Yeah. In case you're wondering.
Yeah.
But the thing about airbags is that despite some complaints that have happened, every so often, you know, about the potential danger of airbags.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and argue. I'm going to take the position that the potential benefits of airbags outweigh the potential problems.
I would definitely say that you're right. And, you know, you're going to find somebody that argues this for seatbelts. You're going to find somebody that argues mm-hmm. this for
power locks.
Power locks, power windows, and,
sure.
You know, the cage that they build into modern vehicles, you know, the metal cage.
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to find that, you know, people have, you know, a favorable opinion of it or an unfavorable opinion based mm-hmm. on maybe one story that they've heard.
Yeah.
I know someone, I think I've mentioned this, my father-in-law will not wear a seatbelt in the car. And
say it again, because
yeah,
it was a long time ago you mentioned
this. He will not wear a seatbelt, and it's because he's heard one story of somebody who was saved by being thrown from the vehicle in an accident.
He's now, like, that, Scott, it'll kill you.
Is that crazy? I mean, I don't mean absolutely crazy. I mean, I understand that he's got this fear that, you know, he's going to be trapped in the car. I can
right.
understand that.
Sure.
But you're far better off having that seatbelt attached. I can tell you that.
Right.
It's better to remain in the vehicle.
People who are thrown from cars hit things.
Yeah, they don't fare too well once you're outside of that car.
It's not like you land on your feet at a trot.
No, Ben. No, it's, and you know what? People will argue the same way, like I said, for and against airbags.
Right. One of the arguments being the fear that if you are in an accident and an airbag deploys and maybe you're a shorter person or you're a child mm-hmm. or depending on the angle, that the airbag will possibly snap your neck.
Yeah. Now they kind of do this in percentiles. They rate you
right.
know, the severity of the impacts and yeah, statistics about, you know, how high the or how tall the person is rather.
Mm-hmm.
Did I say how high the person is?
Yeah.
I think I did. Yeah.
how
tall the person is, how much the person weighs,
yeah.
Male, female, you know,
sure.
that type of thing. It's age, it all comes into it.
Mm-hmm.
But they do, determine, you know, if you're a 97th percentile female who's right. sitting in the passenger seat, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, go ahead.
Not to interrupt, but I just brought up the safety thing because I want to put that out there and get it out of the way first, because it is an issue that I know we're going to get listener response about.
Yeah.
But if people think that airbags are absolutely murderous devices or something, on the off chance, and I think most of our listeners are probably on the same page that you and I are on, mm-hmm. On the off chance you think that, I would ask anyone who hasn't listened to our earlier episode about death-proof cars or accident-proof cars
sure.
to check that out.
There's plenty of other technology out there that is designed to – well, to save a human life in the vehicle, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, that's one of the things that, I mean, of course, that's what these are for. These are to save lives. And really the way they do that and the purpose, the purpose of an airbag is really to slow the speed of the passengers down as slowly as possible.
Right. And now, as safely.
Yeah. And as safely. Now that sounds a little funny to say that, but it's really just, if the slower that you can decelerate the person in the vehicle,
mm-hmm.
the better off that person is, because that rapid deceleration is what kills people.
Okay, so let's say you're a hypothetical driver, right, and you are involved in a collision.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what happens. A sensor, crash sensor, understands that an impact has occurred.
Mm-hmm.
There's a signal that goes to your airbag, right? Which ordinarily just looks like part of your steering wheel again.
Mm-hmm.
And then this thing inflates incredibly quickly.
Yeah.
Usually with nitrogen gas. And in theory, it makes a huge soft pillow, finger quote soft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That will be able to, again, as you said, Scott, slow your speed at a livable pace.
Your body. Not the vehicle. And the vehicle, whatever's happening
right.
to the vehicle is happening to the vehicle.
Right. But you are a separate object inside the vehicle.
Exactly. And the only place that you're going to come to rest is after you've made contact with either the dashboard or the steering wheel or, you know, or the side of the vehicle or whatever mm-hmm. happened with the roof
the
of the vehicle.
God
yeah, the
forbid.
Windshield. It's, the idea here is to make that deceleration as slow as possible so that it's a I'm going to do finger quotes too,
yeah.
gentle stop for the body.
So why are we finger quoting?
Well,
soft and gentle.
Because it's really – accidents are terribly violent. I mean,
yes.
even a small, you know, a small accident, a low
fender
speed,
bender or something.
A low speed accident, terribly violent situation. I mean,
yeah.
it's really, really bad what happens inside a car.
The potential for destruction is amazing.
You know, we've talked about those side impact images, right? You know, the ones that you see where the, you know, the sled, the weight sled or whatever hits the vehicle in the
mm-hmm.
side door.
Yeah.
And, you know, the person's head goes through the glass and, you know, then the body kind of angles out. I'm making a C shape with my body. Like
yeah.
anybody can see, but
at one of those impossible angles.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, you know how quickly these have to inflate, Ben? You mentioned quick, you know, how quick all this happens. And it's a mechanical, sensor that then causes an electrical signal to be sent.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what causes this to inflate. But it's so fast. If the front airbags inflate within 30 to 40 milliseconds, okay?
Right, yeah.
And that is a surprisingly long time in an impact, really. I mean, that's because you've got the whole front end of the vehicle or, I guess, in some cases, the back end of the vehicle. I don't know if that's really true or not. I'll try to think
well,
this through.
Well, go with, like, front or the side.
Let's do the front. Okay, so you've got the front, which has crumple zones.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about those in the past, I know.
Yes.
You got the bumper. You've got, you know, areas that are designed to absorb impact.
Mm-hmm.
And those take the brunt, you know, force of this, of the accident. You're receiving a much reduced amount of
sure.
force inside because it's softened by these parts of the cars being crumbled away, like in race cars that they're designed to fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
Similar in your street car. Now you've got 30 to 40 milliseconds before your airbags, inflate in a front impact. In a side impact, can you imagine how quickly they have to inflate? Because you're talking about a vehicle hitting the door that's right on your arm, you know, next to your arm.
Yeah.
Between 5 and 6 milliseconds is how quickly a side airbag has to inflate.
So that is literally too fast for the human brain to perceive it.
Oh, even the 30 to 40 milliseconds.
Yeah,
I don't
yeah.
think you can. The 5 to 5 or 6 milliseconds, No way. I mean, it's that quick because you got to remember, I mean, that car is within inches of your body the second it hits the vehicle, the second it does. And there's no crumple zone there. There's a very, very small crumple zone.
Right.
But it has to react so quickly. You know, there's side curtain airbags. There are airbags that are mounted in the seats of the vehicle now.
Mm-hmm.
There are airbags that are just head airbags, you know, that are like almost like a I've heard them described as like a sausage or something on top,
like a
bedroll is probably the best way to say it because that's about the size. They're mounted in the A pillar right across the front,
and of course the dashboard.
Yeah, I mean some cars have multiple airbags for all types of different situations. They have them for rollovers. They have them for they stay inflated longer. They're smart airbags. I'm trying to think of the term that a lot of people, you know, there's marketing terms for all these, but you know, the ones that are for the rollover, just for instance, they stay inflated slightly longer because in a rollover situation, it doesn't do you any good if the airbag deflates immediately.
Mm-hmm.
You need that protection as the vehicle continues to roll. Your head, you know, your body's going to be moving around quite a bit and it helps to have that inflated and it's, again, air quote soft.
Right. Okay. Air quote soft. And why air quote soft and why air quote gentle? That is because these bad boys are popping out at you at speeds around 200 miles per hour.
Whoa.
And so the reasoning here, and again, it is reasoning that I agree with, is that, you know what? You can live with a broken nose. You can live with a black eye if it comes to that. And that is so, so much preferable. So much more preferable rather to the quite possible tragedy of death.
Sure. You know? Head injury of any kind.
Sure.
You're talking about, you know, slowing down in the case of, you know, the driver's side airbag, on the passenger too, because they're getting much larger now.
Yeah.
You know, much more coverage, but, you know, if you have this rapid deceleration, there's cases where, you know, your heart's ripped from, you know, the main valve. The valves are breaking off
and things
like that.
It
happens. It really does because it's so quick, that deceleration. Yeah. And you know, it's more like your entire body's really being covered by airbags at some point in these newer vehicles.
Hopefully. Yeah. That's the theory. That's the safest way to do is to encase somebody in a cushion.
It would be. Yeah. I know that they're working on type stuff like this. I want to later when we get towards the end, I want to mention a couple of things that people are working on that kind of interesting in this area because it's not stagnant technology.
No, it's evolving.
It's continuing to evolve.
Oh, we should also point out one thing that can make an airbag dangerous.
What's that?
If you don't wear a seatbelt because an airbag needs a seatbelt to work.
They have to work in combination.
Yeah, they
have to. One doesn't work without the other. It may just end up pushing you in a direction that you don't want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And that would not be good as well. You're right, Ben. That's a good point because some people think that, you know, well, I don't need a seatbelt. I've got airbags.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't work that way.
No. It'll still work, but it won't work the way you want it to.
No, exactly. And you know, I mentioned a rollover situation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's one. But imagine that you're in a wreck and the airbags inflate. You know how quickly they deflate, right? They quickly deflate because they have holes in them and, you know, they don't want it to obstruct your view in case the vehicle's still moving or, you know, you need to get out or
you're
whatever.
In a rescue situation.
Exactly. So they quickly deflate and, you know, they don't want them to be pressing on the person's chest or, you know, face or whatever.
Okay. So we should also talk about now that we've listed some of the basic mechanics, we've listed the ways these work, the reason that they have to deflate. In some cases, the reason they have to stay inflated in others, right?
Yeah.
You know, there's also the capacity to switch airbags off.
Yes. Yes. That's one good point that we haven't mentioned yet is, you know, a lot of them have a key that you can turn them off. It's just a real simple thing. You place the ignition key in and turn it and it's off. Others automatically sense who or what is in the passenger seat.
Right. Because, and this comes back again, the concerns about children in cars, which are very real because under a certain height, under a certain weight, airbags can be very dangerous.
See, this goes back to the percentiles that we were talking
about. Yeah.
And of course, you know, the rear facing car seats that should never be used in them. And you'll see the scary images of, you know, under the visor of your car, that will have, you know, a picture of the child seat breaking in half, you know, when the airbag is deployed against it. And that's true. Those are not a good situation.
Those are not urban legends.
Exactly. No, no, that's a bad situation. You should never have a rear-facing infant seat in the car, a car with airbags in the front seat.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, up to certain size limits. And all that's laid out in the owner's manual. It's all laid out online. You can find a lot of this information about safety.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't want to get into specifics about, you know, right. what age and what weight and all that. But the cool thing about these airbags is they can also not only can you shut them off, some of them can deploy less forcefully.
Yes, they can be depowered,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they're smart systems because they know the size of the person or the object in the passenger seat. Or if it is an object, they might just turn it off. It might not be on because a lot of times you'll see that, you know, you get in the car and if you've got a passenger with you, the passenger side airbag light may remain lit, meaning that it's off or vice versa. You know, it depends on your car. And then you'll notice that, you know, after 5 seconds, the light goes off or on, probably off.
Yeah.
And, you know, other times, let's say you've got no one with you, that light remains on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, why is that? Well, it's sensing. It's got, sensors in the seat. It's either liquid that displacement.
Sure.
Or it's an electrical sensor that, you know, it's a grid pattern that it detects, a pattern that would normally be laid out by a car seat. It's really
distribution of weight.
Exactly. It figures out the points that, you know, if there's 4 points, you know, of weight, it knows that, you know, that may be a car seat. So we're going to adjust that based on the weight that we sense as well. They're really, really smart systems.
And yeah.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Is it okay? Fine. Okay. I didn't want to roll over you there. In 1997, the NHTSA, which our listeners are familiar with, National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, allowed auto manufacturers to use lower powered airbags, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when they did this, sort of triggered a change. And in 1998, repair shops and dealers were allowed to install these off switches.
Yeah.
And if you want to switch off your airbags, if you say, well, I have, you know, 3 kids who are in the car with me all the time, mm-hmm. I'm very concerned about them in an accident. You can check out the NHTSA's brochure on this stuff, like on-off switches, what do you need to know to make a good decision about it? And you can find loads of statistics – excuse me for that dry swallow. You can find loads of statistics at, you know, AAA dealers and your local DMV that will tell you about what you need to do. And if you still decide that you want to have that off switch, they will send you a letter authorizing it. And you have to take that letter to the repair shop.
Okay.
So you can
have one installed aftermarket is what
right.
you're saying.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But
because some come from the factory with it.
Think about it carefully. Yes, yeah. Some come from the factory.
And you know, you mentioned 1998. That was the year that they began the legislation that all new cars sold in the United States had to have at least driver
yes.
and passenger side airbags. Now, you know, beyond that, you know, we've gone way beyond that, as a matter of fact. You know, as far as the number of airbags that are contained in vehicles. Mm-hmm. You know, there's front and rear, there's side curtain. We mentioned all those
it's
before.
It's like cup holders.
Exactly. Yeah, they've just they're you know, all the way back to the third row seats now and, you know, some of these bigger vehicles. And, you know, with good reason.
Yeah.
With good reason.
So, wait, when we're talking, it sounds like we're getting closer and closer to some cool stuff here.
Well,
maybe the future?
Maybe. Yeah, like, you know what? I want to do that first. And then I got a couple of things that I just – it's almost like pet peeves, okay? I'd like to mention two pet peeves, I think, at the end of this, but let's get to it. I'd rather talk about the new technology right now, and then I'll mention these things and see how you feel about them, too.
Okay,
and maybe
sure.
we'll get some listener response because I bet you others feel the same way. Okay, here's one thing. New technology that, you know, we're talking about, and you'd think that, you know, by this point, it's just an airbag's an airbag at this point.
Sure.
It's been around for so long. You know, they were new at one time, but, you know, what's new in this area? Well, I know that some manufacturers are working on external airbags for their vehicles, you know, for pedestrian collisions. Now, they've had panels on the vehicles that are for pedestrian collisions. Like the hood that will crumble under, you know, it's an aluminum hood or, you know, they're designed for, awful as it sounds, pedestrian impact.
Like the bumper, for instance, will crumple in instead of pushing a pedestrian down.
Exactly. So they won't go under the vehicle. Maybe they will go, they will either push them out or on top of the vehicle.
Yeah.
That type of thing, right? Okay. Now they're talking about developing these external pedestrian airbags. And I know that this stuff is in development. I don't know what stage they're in because, you know, it's one of those things that you can hear about on a, maybe a tech blog or something.
Yeah. It's as far as I know, it was still at a concept.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the question is, how do you differentiate between, you know, backing up into a mailbox versus
that's true.
Versus, you know, rolling over or accidentally hitting a bicyclist.
True. Yeah, so. I guess you're right. Yeah, that's right. The other thing is, now this is probably the last one I want to mention about new technology, but this one's interesting. You can find a video of this online, and you'll see some critiques of this, or I should say some critics of this that you know, say that it doesn't really work the way it should anyways. But there's a motorcycle airbag suit that you can wear. And it's set to deploy when a motorcycle rider rolls off of the motorcycle and inflates to protect the head, neck, shoulders area. I don't know how far down the suit goes. I think it goes down the arms. But it kind of gives them this cushion because, you know, when they roll off, they typically kind of flip and flop and, and they're rolling around. Well, this is like – think about like big shoulder pads almost that inflate instantly. And before you even hit the ground.
Trying to sort of it seems like maybe immobilize or cushion the neck from a spinal injury.
Yeah, exactly. Cushion. Yeah, it doesn't immobilize it because it doesn't want to be rigid, but it's something close to that. And it's interesting to watch because the rider just, you know, dumps the cycle over on the side and out pop these airbags, you know, as he's rolling along on the ground. And he stands up and walks away. So interesting. I mean, of course, you know, it was a survivable crash anyways, but you know, it's just to demonstrate how quickly the suit inflates and you give people an idea of what's out there.
I gotta tell you, man, I think that's a great idea. I'm a little bit skeptical because motorcycle accidents are just such a different can of worms.
Yes.
You know, there's so many other factors to consider and I don't know. I think that's a great idea.
I think a lot of people wonder why motorcycles don't have airbags. I don't know how to answer that. I mean, I'm sure there's a logical answer why they don't have an airbag that would deploy and
because they don't have seatbelts.
I guess so because the person's going up and over and out. It's not like you can install a cage that automatically appears, you know, that keeps the person on the vehicle.
And then on the other side, you can't really, you don't want to latch them into the vehicle because that could really be. You know, that could have some terrible effects.
Oh, of course, yeah. And, you know, this, I guess in this case, it's something that deploys along with the rider. No matter where the rider rolls to, the rider has that protection. So I guess in a way that makes sense. Well, anyways, watch for stuff like that to come, you know, come down the pike because it's in there.
Before you get to the pet peeves, which I am actually – I'm really looking forward to hearing these. Let's talk a little bit about the car of the future. Your next car, if you buy a new car, could very well have a driver airbag, a passenger airbag, a thorax bag, a head thorax bag, a pelvis thorax bag. These are like side curtain airbags.
Yeah, I've heard of the thorax bags.
Yes, yeah,
I think those are already out there, right?
Yeah, those are already out. And they've got some fairly strong empirical data supporting them. Enough to the point where at least the U.S. government, again, is considering mandating not just passenger and driver airbags.
Wow. So you're going to have to have a vehicle loaded with airbags then.
Possibly. But, you know, it's kind of early to tell
on
that one because to be able to have that sort of mandate, there would have to be some really compelling data.
I don't know. They did it in 98.
Touche, Scott.
Yeah, and you know what? A lot of that stuff just seems to make it through. So, you know, I bet you we'll see it.
Yeah, I would be surprised. I mean, it's not like they're telling me I have to have a DVD player in my car or something. They are trying to keep me alive.
Yeah, that's right.
Not to keep me buying Santa Claus.
It's a safety issue, and a lot of times these safety issues make it through.
All right, pet peeves.
You know, can I mention one more little fact that I read along here? Early airbag design. This is one that goes way back to where we should have stuck this in the beginning of the podcast, but I just stumbled across this. I forgot.
Yeah.
Early designs called for airbags to be inflated with compressed gas that was housed in a maybe container canister within the vehicle. Mm-hmm. And we're talking way back because I think the airbag design goes all the way back to like World War II, I think.
Yeah.
Something with fighter pilots.
It's an old idea that didn't start in cars.
Yeah. And then, you know, through the years from the mid 40s on, you know, it didn't really, in the 70s, they were talking about like compressed gas systems. Mm-hmm. And, they were trying to figure out how to, you know, one of the things they were trying to find out was how to make enough room in the car for this gas canister that would inflate these bags, right? And also whether or not the gas would remain contained at a high enough pressure for the life of the car. So you would have to go back and have this thing serviced almost like you do an AC system, you know, wow. That would leak.
You have to have a canister replacement.
Exactly. I mean, how often is somebody going to really do that? I mean, it doesn't happen on a regular basis. You know, just somebody's going to be out there with an underinflated canister.
I think most people probably don't think about their car's airbag unless they're in an accident.
Exactly. They don't have to. It's there's no maintenance really at all to it. I mean, as far as, you know, just daily driving, there's nothing you have to do. But with that system, there would have been because, you know, even then, would it operate when it's extremely cold or when it's extremely hot?
Right, because of the gas
changes. And that's when they went over, they switched over to the idea of the solid propellant, which is what they use now, which
yes.
is like, it goes back to like rocket engines and rocket fuel. And it's a solid propellant that, you know, is good at all temperatures and it's very stable. And, you know, it's, I don't know, just thought a point I thought I'd mention. Yeah.
You know what else they, you know what else came, two cars from aeronautics, right?
What?
Or from airplane technology. Seatbelts.
Oh, okay.
We talked about that in, our Niels Bohlin, inventor of the 3-point seatbelt. No relation. Our names are spelled differently. I wish I was related to him.
He
saved like billions of lives.
Wow.
I would love to be in that guy's family. But yeah, so it's a, that 3-point seatbelt comes from, aircraft as well.
You know, can I mention one more?
I keep
coming up with more stuff. I got one more thing that I have to mention.
Yes.
How many times, I saw this just recently and I can't remember where I saw it, but an older film, where there's a comical airbag deployment. You know, and what the airbags that they thought airbags looked like back then or what they perceived them to do.
Yeah.
One example that I can think of clearly was the original Vacation movie, National Lampoon's Vacation.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Remember when they picked up that big station wagon that they were going to travel across the country in? It had all the latest features. Remember it had like 8 headlights and it had, you know, the latest cassette player and all that.
Yeah.
Do you remember that, you know, the airbags deployed on him he was sitting in the driver's seat and it looked like I think it was a black trash bag. That deployed. I mean, it was clearly like just a Glad bag or something.
I'm trying to fight back my my regular laugh that sounds like a donkey honking.
It was so funny, and you know, now that I think about it, looking back on some of those older movies in the early '80s, maybe late '70s, early '80s, there were a lot of these cases where you know you'd have these comical deployments of airbags that look like trash bags in the front seat, and they were inflated by you know like just a canister of helium or whatever it was, you know, that they inflated. But it was very, very funny. Very funny.
Pet peeves, man.
Yes. Let's get them too quick because making this too long.
Got that mental alarm clock going.
Please.
Yes.
Scoot your driver's seat as far back from the steering wheel as possible. You know, that's comfortable for you.
Yeah.
Because I see so many people with their chest on the steering wheel.
Bad idea.
And an airbag.
Bad idea.
Terrible idea. Do you know what happens when that airbag comes out of the steering wheel at 200 miles per hour?
Yeah, I know it breaks your sternum.
It would do a lot more than that.
Yeah.
It would crush you between the driver's seat and the airbag. It's going to be bad.
Yeah.
Please back your car seat up from the steering wheel as far as you can. I know some people can't go back really far if you're shorter.
Sure.
But there are ways around that. Mm-hmm. Find a way to adjust the steering wheel or do something, you know, to keep that, because you've got to have that distance. The last thing.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go ahead and just direct this towards the ladies.
Oh, here
that's
we go. Here
bold
we go,
move.
Scott.
I know. I'll take the heat on the email for this, but I see, I'd say 98% females doing this.
Okay.
And check me if I'm wrong.
I'm going to hear you out.
Passenger side of the vehicle, ladies put their feet up on the dashboard in a car that has airbags. I see this all the time. My wife does this.
Kids do it too, man.
It drives me crazy when I see that. And I tell my wife, you know, you're taking your own life in your hands when you do that. And she thinks I'm kidding. But do you know what happens if your feet are sitting on top of that panel and an airbag comes out of there?
Give us a graphic description.
Your knees will go through your head. It's going to be a bad, bad situation. I mean, really, it's going to break your body in half.
Mm.
It's really bad.
It's a bad situation for everybody part involved.
Look how big a passenger airbag is. You know, when they have those displays where they have them inflated, or you can watch online and see how they're much, much bigger than a driver's side airbag.
Right, much wider.
They're huge. Yeah. They're designed to come out from the dash and meet your body between the seat. Well, you and mm-hmm. they sandwich you between the airbag and the seat. And if you have your feet on top of that, there's not much chance that you're going to get out of there without two broken legs, you know, broken pelvis. You're going to have broken ribs. You're going to have your back's going to be messed up.
You'll be lucky to be alive.
Lucky to be alive. That's exactly right. And I see it all the time. You know, no shoes on, feet up on top of the dash.
That's so weird because I see kids doing that more often.
That's my plea anyways. Just please stop doing that. And if you haven't thought about it or the reason behind why I'm saying it, think about it next time you're in the car.
Yeah, I hope we haven't. Listeners, thanks for tuning in. I hope we
Okay, well anyways, I'm not trying to scare anybody, but you know what? It scares me to see it. And I think about it all the time. It's almost like that horrible, horrible scene in Death Proof car. Or Death Proof.
Oh man.
She's got her foot hanging out the window.
Yeah.
Okay, but similar situation. Just think about it that way.
Well, we got, you know, guys, we don't want to scare you. We don't want you to get into your car or God forbid, driving in traffic, listening to this podcast, and starting to stare at the center of your steering wheel with an overwhelming sense of fear.
No.
Yeah. But airbags are there because they are good for you.
Treat them with respect.
And yes, treat them with respect, as you would anything else that might suddenly rush at you at 200 miles an hour. Which I don't know how many people deal with more than one thing like that in their lives.
Can a lion run 200 miles an hour?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
No. I'll give you the answer. No.
Oh, okay.
No, they can't, yeah.
Well, you know what? Don't write lions off.
Sure.
All right. So aside from our gross misrepresentation of leonine speed, we hope that you have found this podcast fairly informative, and we'd love to hear what you guys think. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. Hit us up on our website, howstuffworks.com, where we've got a couple of very informative articles about airbags and side curtain airbags. And then, of course, Scott, what if somebody wants to email us with an idea for another episode?
Well, if they're not too scared, they can email us at carstuff@howstuffworks.com.
Be sure to check out our new video podcast, Stuff from the Future. Join HowStuffWorks staff as we explore the most promising and perplexing possibilities of tomorrow. The HowStuffWorks iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.